I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 18th. And oh, yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Are you in Brooklyn? Go to Williamsburg tomorrow and Thursday to the Other Half Brewery. I'll be there at 3 p.m. on Wednesday, probably around closer to 5 p.m. on Thursday. It's going to be a ton of fun. The Rates and Barrels podcast will be live. I will be actually on that podcast with Eno and DVR on Wednesday. Mike Petriello will be joining on Thursday. A lot of good people in the industry will be there. We'll be watching the Korea games go. It's going to be such a fun event. All right. News from yesterday. Blake Snell signed a 2-year deal with the Giants. It's exactly what we expected to happen. It should happen a long time ago. And it means that Dalton Jeffries, who was going for an SP5 bid, is not going to be in that rotation. Keaton Wynn is good for the opening day roster, they said. Blake Snell probably will not start until the back end of that rotation in the first turn, just because he will need a couple weeks to just get up to speed. I honestly imagine that the Giants will still go with like 60 pitches or 70 pitches of Blake Snell, but just give him an extra couple days to get one more time to ramp up more against solid hitters. That makes a lot of sense to me. Kevin Gausman is throwing a simulated game on Wednesday to test his shoulder. Just like Snell, I think Gausman is going to go toward the back of that rotation. It does mean that Jose Berríos is the opening day starter for the Blue Jays. Also, Alek Manoah is continuing his recovery and is scheduled to throw on the side today. We'll see how that looks. We have Anthony Descafani starting this season on the IL with a forearm strain. I feel terrible for Descafani. It does mean that Louis Varland finally has the SP5 spot for the Twins. So I'm all over Louis Varland in drafts. I don't think it's on the same level as like if Paul Skeens or Jackson Jobe. And there's an argument to be made that Jared Jones would be more exciting, I actually think so, than Louis Varland getting the fifth spot. However, Varland has a very good fastball at 95 plus. That is, has good pitch shape. He goes upstairs with it. He doesn't have the best command of it. It's not like Joe Ryan or Bailey Ober yet, but he's trying to, while he has a cutter and a slider that fits underneath it well. So those three pitches themselves make Louis Varland a good fifth starter for the Twins, a good option for your 12 teamers. I would be getting that everywhere, and he's going to be getting Milwaukee on the road in Milwaukee. His first start of the year, I would be going with that one. And lastly, the Cincinnati Reds announced that they are going with Frankie Montas, Hunter Green, Graham Ashcraft, and Nick Martinez as their first four starters, with Andrew Abbott and Brandon Williamson technically fighting for the fifth, while Nick Lodolo is on the mend, and he should return on April 10th. Andrew Abbott makes all of the sense, especially with Brandon Williamson leaving yesterday with shoulder soreness. It's probably just going to be a little bit slower for him, but that means, right, Andrew Abbott is the one that should be ahead of him. I don't want Andrew Abbott anyway, haven't been this year, but it does mean that Nick Martinez does have that rotation spot. And the Reds are going to keep him there, which makes sense when you realize that they signed him, but it just meant that, wait, who are they going to kick out? Andrew Abbott? It's a little surprising after how good he was in his opening couple weeks. But yeah, Andrew Abbott is the one who's on the outs right now. He's going to probably have the fifth spot for about a week or two, and then Lodolo will show up. Sackass games from yesterday. Nick Pivetta went four innings of 200 runs, five hits, one walk, and five Ks. Not a good outing. He was a tick down on the heater and one to two ticks on everything else. Where we saw the sweeper and the cutter and the slider and the curve and all of that, not well spotted. One of the things I really liked about Pivetta last year is adding that Whirlybird sweeper and cutter down meant that he finally could go up with his truly elite vertical break on his four-seamer. Seriously, that four-seamer's IVB, I think, is the number one in the majors. Not the flattest arm angle, but enough IVB to make that work. Thing is, he needs that secondary stuff down. It wasn't here. And I'm a little spooked by Pivetta. Pivetta's whole history has been not the most consistent command. He had it last year, and it felt like he had a new tweak done and a new life to him. However, you know, there's this one comment Eno made on the craft saying those with the arm path that Pivetta has that is over the top struggle with sweepers. And it makes sense. And I hate this. And I hate that I feel weird about Pivetta. I have not gotten him in any drafts so far. He's always gone a little bit higher than I expected. And I always kind of like Pivetta in the, I have him ranked at the end of the 30s right now. I think I'm going to be lowering him closer to Brian Bayo and say Cutter Crawford and whatnot. I might actually like Cutter Crawford more currently. I don't know. I'm a little weirded out. You're going to see an update of the list on Thursday as I get it for draft weekend. Then I'll have another update on Wednesday before the season starts for that last night of drafts. You have Joe Ryan on five innings, 200 runs, three hits, one walk, and five strikeouts. Like Pivetta, I was hoping for his secondaries to go down, and they weren't. The slider and the splitter both were well inside the zone. It's not really what I want. I want these pitches low so that the four-seamer can live high. Now, the four-seamer's still a tick higher, and that's a good thing, and I do imagine that Joe Ryan will get better at this, especially with how much he's leaning into the slider as opposed to last year. Still, it's a little frustrating, especially after last start that was a step forward, and this one is a step back. Also, we saw only four sinkers, and just one of them was used properly. That is inside two right-handers early in a count, and that was to Connor Joe, an 0-1 count, and he got a foul ball exactly as you should. But that's it, and that's really annoying. I want Joe Ryan to be doing that too, and he's not. So, not the best, but at least he's still a tick higher, and he's trying to make this work, and that's a good thing. Martin Perez, five innings of zero earned runs, five hits, two walks, eight strikeouts, which is kind of wild considering he was about two ticks down in the sinker, but he was good around the edges of the zone. That is not down the middle, doing what I call the neckbeard approach of being on the edges east and west and living under the zone. It's a good thing that Perez does. The sneakiest of streamers early as he gets the Marlins the opening weekend of the year. Rowanzi Contreras, also in Pittsburgh, went 1.2 innings of zero earned runs, two hits, three walks, and five strikeouts. It's a really good slider, and the fastball, even though it's harder a little bit at 95, terrible command. So, Rowanzi, I'm so sorry, you're destined to be a reliever at this point. Tyler Phillips started for the Phillies. You don't know who that is. It's okay. He went eight earned runs in two innings. 2.2, I should say. Spencer Turnbull also showed up in that Phillies game. Two innings of two earned runs, two hits, one walk, and two strikeouts. For Turnbull, it's kind of interesting. Now that we have so many better metrics to understand fastball shape, and I understand it now, I realize that his four-seamer of old was never really a four-seamer. It was a cutter. It does not have a vertical break. It truly is a cutter. Second percentile, I think, last year in his brief moment with the Tigers in a vertical break. So it's a cutter that would work inside to left-handers. He actually has a lot of horizontal break on a sinker. So throw that inside to right-handers. Then you have a sweeper and a curveball that actually does work. Just make it two pitch for each guy. But I don't really think we're going to see that this year. Maybe the Phillies still consider Spencer Turnbull as a very backup option in the rotation, but probably not. So we're going to move on. You have Carlos Rodon. Whoa, what a start, right? 5.2 innings, 200 runs, zero hits, one walk in five Ks, and he sat 94.5. He topped out at 96.4, and I'm waiting for him to hit 98 max at that, because classic Rodon was the guy who would ramp up through a start and then be throwing 97, 98, even like 99 by the end of the game. and be sitting 95.5. I'm okay him throwing 93, 94, but it's supposed to be the steady ramp that he's then sitting 96 or so at a time, right? He's not doing that. He's at 94, 95 right now. Was it better locations? Yes. He had a better feel for the slider in this one, but sometimes that goes in and out. I'm not ready to jump in because I think there are other guys that are just clearly going to be good, and this is still binary. And I feel that it actually isn't binary anymore. Binary being in the sense that either he's great or he's terrible. I think he's just too middle right now without showing the ceiling. And I feel like with every start here, the ceiling gets lower and lower. And keep in mind, he could still very well be injured again soon. So I'm not going in on Rodon here. We're going to talk about the other games on StatCast and on TV, and we're going to talk about all of that after this break.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43926-7V1.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hunter Brown, 5 innings of 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks, and oh boy, nothing was down. I mean, I take that back. His 4-seamer was in velocity, and his secondaries went 1 for 42 whiffs. It wasn't a good outing for Brown. He's got to get all of these things, changeup, cutter, slider, and curve, down. So that isn't fun, and I wish it were better. I wish I had better things to report here for Hunter Brown. I imagine it's something to be said, cool, and just get out in front of your breakers more, your extension side, as he likes to say, as far as glove side, which I find so interesting. But I'm more and more out on Hunter Brown with each start this spring. I'm finding myself not drafting him because they're just other guys I'd rather go at the same time. We have Brian Hoeing at 2 innings of 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 1 strikeout. I'm only going to mention it because the Marlins might be going with Hoeing and friends like Devin Smeltzer, Yanni Chirinos, instead of doing Max Meyer at the SP5, as they just wait for Braxton Garrett and Edward Cabrera to be able to go like 2 weeks into the season. So I might see him twice, and you shouldn't be chasing that. Ross Stripling has a starting spot for the Oakland Athletics. I'm happy for him. Glad that he has that comfortable knowledge that he's going to go every 5 days. It's 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Not something that you should be chasing. Mitch Spence also showed up, 2 innings of 0 earned runs, 0 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Those strikeouts are nice, but it's a 93 mile per hour heater and 2 out of 13 whiffs on it. Curve, cutter, and slider combined for 5 over 15. It's just not really enough for me to say, oh cool, yeah, Mitch Spence is the new guy to chase. No, not that. Merrill Kelly, 3.1 innings of 0 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. That's right, 10 outs, and 7 of them were strikeouts. Changeup is still getting whiffs. Four-seamer is 91, 92. I always want to see like 93 for Kelly, but he survives at 91, 92. Honestly, I feel like I've gone back and forth on Kelly a lot this offseason, and Kelly's just kind of showing that, yeah, I can still do this, and it's a good defense. The offense is going to score runs. he's going to go deep into games. I'm probably underrating Merrill Kelly, and I would have Merrill Kelly above Nick Pivetta in my rankings. So you're going to see that reflection when I update the list on Thursday. Max Fried went 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. We'll take that all day because all we need is Max Fried being healthy. That's all we need. Just healthy Max Fried. And he is right now, and that's great. Griffin Canning, 4.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. Some people really are in on Canning because I understand he doesn't walk the farm and he has a strikeout rate that can be 25%, but he allows too many hits. I mean, he's someone who just throws in the zone too much for his own good at times, especially with his secondaries, and his fastball is not a good one. So I just don't like it enough. And it's the Angels. He's not going to get the wins you want. I don't trust their development. I am staying away. You have DL Hall, 3.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. And here's the thing. I watched the first 2 innings of this. I didn't get a chance to watch the following 4 outs. But he went 0-2 on all of the first 6 batters he faced. He got to 0-2. And that's huge. Did he put them all away? No, he actually walked one of them, Miguel Sano, which was frustrating. But that's a huge deal for me. And when I consider someone like DL Hall, this lefty converting from a reliever, you often think like, oh man, yeah, he's destined to be this high walk guy, can't throw strikes, doesn't know where things are going. I don't believe that's the case with DL Hall. Do I think that he's an elite command guy? Absolutely not. But he is not at the level of Joe Boyle, right? He's not Matt Brash in this. I really think that DL Hall is someone who is going to take a little bit of time, but the stuff is there. The fastball is hard to hit. The changeup is good. The slider is good. He has the opportunity. Roll with this with DL Hall. I think you're going to like it this year. Josiah Gray, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 7 walks, and 6 Ks. Yeah, no, thank you there. You have Christian Javier, kind of like DL Hall, where I watched the first 2 innings. And actually, he was really good for 4 of them, but the 5th was horrendous. So 4.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 1 strikeout. Don't get too hung up on this. The main difference for Christian Javier in 2022 versus 2023, you could say it's a fastball tick going down. Results were the same on that 4-seamer. The big difference was the strike rate on a slider, far less reliable. And it meant that guys were able to deal with the heater more, and then he had a higher walk rate because he just didn't get enough strikes with the slider. What I've seen this spring is a changeup that is legit. He's able to throw strikes with this, and he was for a while in this one, and then the 5th inning just fell apart. I think this is the spring. I think people are going to see this and turn away. I believe that Christian Javier is a different pitcher now. With this changeup, it opens the door for that 4-seamer to be more dominant. And I think that also puts less pressure on the slider. And that really does click back in, which is a filthy slider, mind you. Like when that thing is in the zone, it is so stupid hard to hit. It gets 2-plane movement on it. It's great. But having that changeup as a, hey, cool, I can just throw this whenever, it's fine, especially paired with a really good 4-seamer. That is an amazing, amazing addition for Christian Javier. And I think that you're going to like what you get from Christian Javier this season. You have a couple more games left. Tanner Bibee, 4.1 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Nothing to gain here because we have no video data. I hope that he's good, but it's not a good whip, whatever. Kyle Harrison, speaking of a bad whip, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks, 140 whip. But really, you're happy it's 1 walk. Just throw strikes, Harrison, and you should be okay. I just don't think that his command is good enough for me to really chase and not be a hipster, headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. Frankie Montas, 4 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. He's the opening day starter for the Reds. I don't want to do that. It's in Cincy against the Nationals. It's in Cincinnati. I know it's the Nationals, but I just don't want to trust it. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not going to be do not start. It's going to be a questionable start at the bottom of it, but man, I don't want to do it. And lastly, it's Drew Thorpe, who is fighting for the SP5 spot for the White Sox. 2.2 innings of 8 earned runs, 10 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. So when I last saw him, it was 88, 89 on the fastball, not 92. And something is wrong with Drew Thorpe. It's unfortunate. I don't want to chase him whatsoever. Nick Nastrini is a very interesting option. You can, if he's available in your league right now and you have nothing really on, if you have an open spot or something you can kind of mess around with, take a spec ad on Nick Nastrini right now, because right now it's, what, Chad Kuhl and Nick Nastrini fighting for that SP5 spot. I would so hope the White Sox just go for it with Nick Nastrini and give him more time to develop in the majors. That would be so, so awesome. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for the ratings and reviews. By the way, I've seen them. Fantastic doing it either on the Plus Pitch directly or on the Fantasy Baseball feed, whichever one. Thank you all so much for them. They really go so far for this podcast. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Requires Gemini device and additional paid subscriptions to watch Netflix and other third-party apps. Terms and restrictions apply.